Hello, and thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
He is worthy. And this will be the last in this series of three messages I've been dealing with getting older, because we're getting older and more I preach it. So I want you to get better. So I'm going to move on to some other things, but I didn't plan on preaching this series. I mean, the Lord just kind of dropped this in my heart. And so I'm excited about that. And you are getting older, but the question is, are you getting better? It's part three. Before we go, I want to sing a song to you. Say, uh-oh. Okay. I've sung this to some of you. You've heard this before, but so if you've heard it, act like you didn't hear it. Okay. This is this might be your song. I don't know. Maybe your story. It kind of goes like this about getting older. It says, let me get my glasses out first. All right. It's a song about a older man who gets married to an older lady. We got married last Friday. My girl was right there beside me. Our friends were all gone. We were alone. Come on, side by side, you know the melody. We were so happily wed when she got ready for bed then. Her teeth and her hair, she placed in a chair, side by side. Oh, it gets worse. One glass eye so tiny, one hearing aid so small. Then she took one leg off and placed it in a chair by the wall. Here's the sad part. I stood there brokenhearted. Most of my girl had departed. I slept on the chair. There was more of her there, side by side. Hey. Now you can nudge your spouse there and say, hey, that's our song. Well, getting older isn't a joke, but you might as well be happy about it, and you might as well just get used to it. Some of you may remember one guy really made a fortune out of getting older. He was, he's passed away now, but he was a real old guy, lived in his 90s, and he did stand-up comedy of all things. And he just come up with a little cigar and told one-liners, and his name was George Burns. Anybody remember George Burns? Raise your hands. You old-timers remember George. Younger people might remember him. He was in this movie that I don't necessarily recommend the movie, but just so you can get a picture of what he looked like, he was in that movie. So the younger people may recognize that face. But the older people may remember way back in the days of black and white television, a show called Burns and Allen. And George Burns was married to Gracie Allen. She was a redheaded, and she played kind of flighty and silly and kind of goofy, like she didn't know what was going on. She was a very intelligent person, by the way. But she was the funny person of the comedy team, the TV show, and he was the straight man. And a straight man has to know how to feed lines to the comedian that will help set up jokes and funny remarks and stuff like that. And they ended their show, you may remember, they ended their show, their television show, weekly television show, every week the same way. They come on at the end of the show, here's George Burns and here's Gracie Allen, and he'd say to her, he always had a cigar, by the way, so this would be my cigar. He'd say, he'd talk with a real raspy voice, you know, he'd say,
Hey, say goodnight to the good people here, Gracie.
Good night, everybody.
And then and then sometimes he would say, this is typical, he'd say goodnight, say goodnight, Gracie. And
good night, George.
No, Gracie. Say goodnight to the good people here that are watching us.
Oh, good night, everybody.
And that's how they ended every single show. Well, it was a pretty good successful run that they had of a comedy, but then she died. And so now you have George Burns, who's a straight man. He's not used to being a comedian and all that. And yet he had a comeback. He thought his days were over. He thought, you know, my career's over. I've lost the funny person. I've lost the love of my life. What am I going to do, you know? And yet he went back on the road and he did stand-up comedy. And he became a comedian who would just be, he would stand up there and just tell little one-liner jokes. And some of them you may have heard before. He'd say, It's nice to be here. At my age, it's nice to be anywhere. He'd say things like that, you know. And he says, people ask me about my age and the secret to longevity. He says, I just tell them, don't die. That's the secret to longevity. Yeah. He says, by the time you're 80 years old, you've learned everything. The problem is you just don't remember it, you know. And he smoked cigars, notoriously, about 10 or 15 cigars a day. And he said, I smoke about 10 to 15 cigars a day. He says, at my age, I have to have something to hold on to, you know. And so he would say all these different one-liner things, and he came back. In a time when you would think, you know, his career's over, that, you know, he just needs to retire. He just needs to sit down. And he came back and was a big hit and made movies. And his whole career was like he was not retired, he was refired. One of the things he said I like for preaching, he said, the secret to a good sermon is having a good beginning and a good ending, and then having them as close together as possible. I do like one thing he said, and I want this on the screen because this is a truth, really. It's not funny, it's just a fact. He says, you can't help getting older, but you don't have to get old. That's a ringer that's going right around your neck right there, right now, to remind you. Okay. And this three-part message, you're getting older, but are you getting better, really needs to be measured and taken seriously by all of us. I don't care what age you are. Okay. The longer you walk with God, you claim to be a Christian now, and the longer you walk with God, who's called love, the better you should become. And the last 2 weeks, I've preached to you a message about one of those ways every single time. The first way that you should become better as you get older is that the older people who've had experience of walking with God 20, 30, 40 years or more, you should be more calm than anybody else. More calm, more patient, less in a hurry. Because you walked with God. You've had life experience. You've been through some stuff. You've been through some trials. And you have found that God is faithful. I mean, you start reviewing your life, the things that you have been through that should have taken you out, that should have been absolutely devastating to you, that should have destroyed your life, and you're still standing. Through no real great effort of your own other than the grace of God. And so the first thing that God wants us to get better as we get older is that we should be more calm the older we get because we walk with God through a lot of stuff. And we've learned not to be in a hurry. We've learned that worry is a waste of time. We learned that God is faithful. And people, sometimes I hear older people say this. They say, you know, the older I get, the less patience I have. That ought not to be. And you have control over that. Yes, you do. James 1:4 says, let patience have her perfecting work in you, the maturing work in you, that you be mature, fully developed, and lacking nothing. So all that you've gone through, the things you should have experienced, both good and bad, that you can offer people and you can say, you know, I've been through this before. Let me share some things with you that I learned, how you can trust God.
or I've been through this before and I didn't handle it right. Let me tell you what not to do. All of that can be valuable, redeeming experience and testimony that can help people. And notice that patience is a fruit of the Spirit. It grows through time. And it's grown in our hearts to free us from hurry, from worry, from fretting. And we have learned by feeding on His faithfulness that we can be patient. We may have to wait on the Lord for the manifestation, but God is faithful. If God has promised something in His Word, we can depend upon Him. Amen? So we have learned by feeding on God's faithfulness that we don't have to be in a hurry. If I'm late, I'm late. Maybe I'll be there just right on time. Remember when people thought that Jesus was late when they sent a message to Him about coming to help Lazarus, your friend who's dying? And Jesus showed up, not ahead of time. He showed up after He died. And Mary and Martha were a little mad about that and said, you know, if you'd have been here, this wouldn't happen. But then we wouldn't have had John chapter 11 and Jesus standing up and saying, I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? I'm never late. I'm right on time. And when you walk with God, He'll put you in the right place at the right time if you'll just rest and relax and let Him have His way with you. So the first thing, how you know you're getting better as you get older, is that you're calm. You're calm on the inside. You're never in that rig hurry, worry, fretting, anxiety mode. You don't know. If you get there, you get your peace back real quick and get back to, no, be calm. In quietness and confidence is your strength. Are you there? I mean, are you calm? Anybody about to have a panic attack? You can be calm. Now you carry that with you and you walk it out in your week. That was the part where you're supposed to say amen. Amen. Amen means I agree. I agree. The second way you measure whether you're getting better as you get older was last week's message. Not only are we to be calm, but we're to be confident. Confident in God, who is faithful, and confident in the anointing that He has given me. The calling that He's given me, the gifts, the anointing that He's given me, they work. Be confident in God and confident in yourself, and you can see people with confidence. You can see when a person walks in a room whether they carry an air of confidence in God and confidence in their calling. The Bible says, trust in and be confident in the Lord and feed on His faithfulness. So you're growing in confidence in God and in the anointing that He gave you. And older people should be admired by younger people. The younger people should be looking at the older people and say, I want what you have. I admire the qualities of godliness I see in your life. I admire how you walk with a calmness and a sweetness of spirit. You don't get frazzled and you don't panic when unexpected things happen. I admire the confidence I see in you that you have in God. And the confidence that you have in the anointing that works in your life. I admire that. You can visibly see these things in people's lives. Therefore, we should be getting better as we get older in those two areas. Unshakable, calm, confident. I can wait on the Lord because I know He's faithful. He'll come through. That need will be met. Thank you, God. I'm confident in your word. Amen. I'm confident in you, God. That healing's be manifested. I'm confident in you, God. I don't question any longer. I just thank you, God. I'm confident. I've seen you heal blinded eyes. I've seen you heal deaf ears. I've seen you heal people in stage 4 cancer. And I've seen people that went on to be with the Lord. But even then, that was good because that was what was best for them at that moment. And I just know that you know what's good. And you're a good, good Father. And I trust you. I trust you. Even when I don't understand, I trust you. So these three things, these three markers should be in your life right now if you walk with the Lord at least a year. Be calm. Be confident. And then this today is be committed. It's a BC powder. Gets rid of your headache. Haven't you met people who say they're Christians and they give a testimony of being true that they're a Christian, and you've met them and yet they're mean or they're grouchy or they're negative or they're grumpy? Have you met any Christians or people who claim to be Christians that way? Are any of them in this room? Would you stand up and point them out? Because they need to come up here on the front row in the splash zone so you don't miss it. Now, if that's you, I'd humble myself and get up and just come down here. Okay, yeah, he's talking right to me. Because every week I hear people say, you were talking directly to me. I said, well, of course I was. That's why you're here. So if he's talking to you, I'm making him a little fun, but that's just what I do. That's my personality. I just have fun when I do things. If I'm talking to you right now and you know it, let's just be real. Just come on up here and say, boy, that's my seat right here. And I'm not going to miss a word because you're talking to me, preacher. I ain't seen anybody move. You're a bunch of cowards. But you've seen people who they give evidence of being a Christian, at least in their knowledge, but they're just mean, grumpy, irritable, negative, complaining, blah, 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 blah. They're walking in the flesh. They're not walking in triumph. They're not walking in victory. And they're really bad advertisement. And we need to help them. A real friend will be honest with them and say, hey, you know what? That billboard on your face needs to change. Because you're really some false advertising. And so I understand something, though, this past week in preparing this message, and actually in the past few weeks. When you prepare a message, by the way, it's never prepared in that one week or whatever. It's something that God's been mulling around in your heart probably for months and maybe even years sometimes. And then he brings it up. It just kind of grows up, see. That's how he deals with me. And so I understand this is vital to you understanding today. This is what will bring the calm part in your life. This is what will bring the confidence part in your life. You've got to have this third part about commitment in your life, because if you don't have it, it'll never come together. You ever see the modern movie Dennis the Menace, and you see Mr. Wilson? Hey, Mr. Wilson, you know. And Walter Matthau was the actor there, and he was mean and grumpy and, you know, grouchy. He didn't like children. He was selfish. But at the end of the movie, he learned to value children, even Dennis the Menace. We don't have a lot of children here in our church, but it was said to me that our people here, the older people, don't really show a lot of love and attention and respect to the children. And I said, really? I said, I don't believe that. I said, I'm going to tell the congregation that. That we need to love children. And the children need to know that you're loved. And when you see them, go up and talk to them. You know, if they don't even talk back, speak to them. Love on them. You know, and let them know that they're loved, that they ought to feel love from all the folks here in this congregation. Like, this is a family reunion. Every time we get together, Sunday and Wednesday, it is a family reunion. I got aunts and uncles and grandpas and grandmas. I got 100 of them. That's the way the children ought to feel that. So I just hope that you'll just take note of that. And if you haven't been, make sure that you acknowledge the children, love the children. And, yeah, honey, what? Huh? And the teenagers, too. They need to know, hey, we appreciate you. We're glad you're here. You could be anywhere, but you're here, and we're thankful that you're here. So, at the end of this message, he loved children. And his whole countenance changed, his whole life changed. He saw the value of children. And so that's one question I do have for you. Do the people of Grace Tabernacle love children here? Do they love the teenagers here? Or do they wish they weren't here? Okay. I'm just asking a question because I love them. And I'm glad to hear, you know, and I want them to feel loved by you. So we talk about being calm, confident, and committed, but I want you to know something. These things are just not going to happen because you hear me preach a sermon about it. Bring it to your attention. You have to be intentional about changing. You have to be intentional about, I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to worry. Because by default, you just naturally do those things in your flesh. I'm not going to be in a hurry. I'm going to be intentional. I'm going to start driving in the slow lane. I'm going to thank, stop. Every time I have a red light, I'm just going to stop and thank God for slowing me down. That's practical. There's no sense hearing a message here on Sunday morning that you can't apply to your life. You got to be intentional about calming down and being led by the Spirit rather than letting your flesh dominate and rule your life. And you got to be intentional about growing in confidence in the Lord. See. And so, you know, by default, if you don't do anything, when you hear me preach these messages these last 3 weeks, and you don't do anything to apply them, then by default, as you get older, you're going to become grumpy and negative and cynical by default. Don't do that. We already have enough of those people out there. You need to be the salt and light of the world. That when you walk in a room, it lights up. That when you walk in a hospital room, encouragement has just showed up. Hope has just showed up. See, the light dispels the darkness. And so you just need to decide, what kind of old person do you want to be? You say, well, I'm not old. Well, you're getting older. And it'd be good if you'd decide today what kind of older person you're going to be. You're going to get better or you're going to get bitter? One or the other. And you have to commit your way to the Lord for things to change. They're not just going to happen. Psalm 37, here we are. Here's the text, verse 4 and 5. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Roll and repose every care of your load on Him. Trust, lean on, rely on, be confident also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. Now, that's the word of the Lord. There are a lot of things competing for your and my heart. A lot of things. Hell dangles all kinds of carrots in front of us and saying, look over here, come after this, chase after this. You want this in your life. And hell dangles all kinds of things to get your heart to go after anything other than the Lord first. Well, I'm a Christian. Well, good. Well, what part does the Lord have in your life? Oh, He's got my heart. Really? Okay. Well, we can look at your life and see whether or not that is really true. Does He have a part of your heart, or does He have first place in your heart? The words delight yourself in the Lord mean to find your joy. Find your joy, your life-giving joy, your purpose, your reason to get up in the morning, your purpose to live life is finding your joy in Him. That's what it means. Is it true of you? Would you say, I don't care if I won $1 billion. I don't care if I had this and this house and all these things. If I didn't have Jesus, it would mean nothing to me. Because the devil's going to dangle something out there to try to get you to take something less than a God-first commitment in my life. Now, let's just say on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being cold, 10 being hot. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being cold, 10 being hot. Where would you put your relationship with God right now? 1 to 10. You just put yourself on a measurement. Where am I? Most people tend to put themselves somewhere in the middle. Well, I'm not less than a 5. Maybe I'm a 7, or maybe I'm an 8. And you think that's good. God made a very important letter clear to a whole church in the book of Revelation. And he said to them, you know, I've seen your works. I've seen all the things you're doing. And you got all these activities and you're doing all this and doing all that. But the problem is you've left your first love. And I want you to repent of leaving your first love and get back to putting me first. And watch what I do with you. So if you place yourself anywhere between 1 and a 9, the Lord would say to you and me, you need to repent. You need to repent. Because a 9 even means there are other things that could crop up in your life that may be more important to you than what the Lord has important for you to do at that moment. Are you with me? I don't care whether you agree with me or not. The Bible makes it very clear. God has to have first place in our hearts. And if he doesn't have the priority of my time, if he doesn't have the priority of my life, then idols have crept in and grown like weeds. And they've removed God from first place. Oh, he's in my life, but he's not first. He's not the first one I go to. He's not the first one I think of when I wake up in the morning. He's not the first one in my life. And you think you're doing good. See, this church that left their first love, they were doing things. The church was busy with activity. They made a commitment, but they didn't maintain the commitment. I'm not saying that there wasn't a time in your life that you didn't make a commitment and that you didn't receive Jesus as Lord of your life. I'm not doubting if you say you're saved, you say, I'm taking you at your word. But the problem is we don't maintain that commitment. And over a period of time, things just creep in and push God off of the throne. The Bible says, seek ye first. Seek ye what? First, the kingdom, the government of God. When churches or Christians lose their purpose and their priority, they start to decline. When they lose their purpose and their priorities are not right, they start to decline. And if they continue, eventually, all they'll have is a form of religion, but denying the power. Denying God's power access to flow through them. Denying God's power from bringing revival. Denying God's power from cutting into the people's hearts and breaking them free from the bondages of this world. They're denying the power. They have a form. We just want to look good on Sunday morning. We just want our numbers up. We just want a good worship service, a holler and shout and spit and cry out in tongues and wave banners. But we don't want any more than that now. We don't know. We got to calm down. Do you know that between 4,000 and 7,000 churches close their doors every year? Between 4,000 and 7,000 churches, and they say, this is according to Southern Baptist researcher, they say between 8,000 and 10,000 churches are likely closed this year. And we have to ask the question, why? Why? It had to be because they forgot their purpose. It had to be because they got their priorities mixed up. Church, why are we here? 15 years ago, April will be God started Grace Tabernacle in an upper room downtown Leesburg. Then we went from there to a warehouse, and then 11 years ago, we started here. Why are we here? There's lots of good churches around the area. We have a purpose. We must not forget this individual purpose. The purpose for Grace Tabernacle primarily is to get the gospel of grace into people's hearts and to let them hear the gospel, let them hear the truth. There's more to life than this life. And then proclaim this life of living in the grace of God that frees people from sin, guilt, shame, and the bondage of religion. We have a biblical example of how God turned things around for the people of God in the book of the prophet called Haggai. He was a prophet of God, sent with a message at a time when we would say church attendance was in decline. Attendance was low. Money was low. The temple, the place of worship, the building was deteriorating. They didn't even have money to maintain the ministry. The majority of the people were not putting God or God's business first. And Haggai, the prophet of God, tells the reason that the temple was in decline. God spoke through this prophet these words to God's people. He said, "Consider your ways. You have sown much, but reap little. You don't have enough. You earn wages, and you put them in a bag with holes in it. Consider your ways." And he goes on to the rest of that first chapter there in chapter 2 as well. He says, "You, my people, are living in fine paneled houses and fine, beautiful homes, but you're letting my house go in ruins. You're putting your selfish interest ahead of my business. You think you can throw into something and give me a little tip on Sunday that you're doing your duty when my house is in ruins and your house is getting better." Now, it wasn't about the money. It was about the heart. The money was just a barometer of their heart. And so Haggai, the prophet, God spoke to him and gave the solution. And he said to the people, "Here's what I want you to do. You make my business, God's business first, God's house, take care of that first, and you do that." And he said, "I'll fill that temple with my glory." And the Lord aroused the spirit of the people, and they came and they did the work of the ministry. And then God did fill his house with the glory of the Lord. They had revival. But here's what God said, and here's the point I want you to get. He told them what he expected of them. He expected them to make a commitment in their heart to God to put him first, his business first, his ministry first in their lives. I'm not talking about church activities. I'm talking about put God first in your life. That means that, God, you call up on me to go do something, I go do it. You put somebody in my path, you want me to minister, I'll do it. I'll walk through every open door you give me. I'll do whatever you want me to do. You take charge of my calendar from this day forward. And God said to them, if you'll make that kind of commitment, he said these words, "Consider from this day forward." Everybody say that with me. Consider from this day forward. There was something about them making a private, personal commitment to God, between them and God. If I'm going, you're going to put me first. Put my business first. Mark it down. Mark down this very day that you do that. Because if you do that, you mark it down and you'll be able to look back and you'll be able to see when you put my business first, you put my ministry first from that day forward, you had seed in the barn, your fruit trees brought forth fruit, and because of this day, because of this commitment, I'll bless you. I mean, that's a biblical example. And they did. And had they not, it would have been no more. They committed their way to the Lord, Psalm 37. God's business first in my life. God's house, his church first in my life. And then self-interest. When self-interest, what they had before, began to replace God's interest, they lost their passion, they lost their perception, and they lost their purpose. You may have heard this, but there used to be a paper called the Chicago Daily News. It was a world-renowned paper, won a Pulitzer Prize, had a huge circulation throughout the world. For 102 years, they were in business. Chicago Daily News, for 102 years. Then one day, they announced they're closing the doors. And people of the world were shocked. They're going out of business. What happened? 102 years you've been in business. And the journalist for the paper, one of them, said these words. He said, it all boils down to this. We forgot our purpose. We started shifting our priority from reporting the news to making money. And we lost our purpose. And eventually, we lost our existence. April 3rd will be 15 years for Grace Tabernacle. If everybody who had been in here in this church and joined this church and come through this church had still been in this place, we'd have had a church of 2,000 or 3,000 people. And some of them probably weren't supposed to. Some come for a season, I understand. And so over the years, I have been somewhat frustrated from time to time as a pastor because I try to get something going here, and as soon as you get people in here, next thing you know, where are they going? It's like a hole in the bucket. Consider your ways. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What's the problem, sir? The second week in January, the Lord dealt with my heart about something and my wife. And I shared it with her, and we agreed that God was dealing with us. He said to me, don't be frustrated. Don't be thinking it's time to quit. I didn't tell you to quit. I didn't tell you to quit. I said, okay. I'm just don't want to be in the way, Lord. Well, he said, I know that. He said, I called you to be calm. I called you to be confident. And I called you to be committed. And I said, I thought I was, Lord. Obviously, when he says those things, you're not. And so, second week in January, Holy Spirit made it clear to me what he expected of Pam and I. I want you to make a commitment and a covenant with me that you'll walk through any open door that I put before you, that you'll do whatever ministry that I assign you to do, that you'll put all your energy and effort into this church that I've given you right now. I'll call people alongside you to help you. And don't try to go do your own thing, but stay focused here and pour everything you've got into being committed to where I've called you right now, and finish the assignment well that I have upon your life. Make a commitment and a covenant with God that you're not going to let other things distract you. You're going to stay focused. See? And so we made a commitment. There's a lot of other things involved in it. I don't have time to tell you those details. Some of them private. But we made a covenant. We had communion. We made a covenant with God. We're not going to go do this. We're not going to go do that. We're going to stay focused and be committed. Whatever you put in front of us, God will do. And already we're seeing things happen in our life for the better. Why? Commitment to God and his assignment. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, he wants the same thing from every one of you, every one of you. And maybe that's why you haven't seen some breakthrough. To make a covenant with God today, put his business first, his ministry first. Whatever he puts in your path, walk through that door. Whatever he opens to you, say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first, refocus, refire. So the challenge of the Lord is this. The challenge from the Lord to all of us is this. Commit your way to the Lord. I thought I was. No, there were some things I was holding out on. Waiting to see how things are going to turn out. No. That's not commitment. Put God's business first, His ministry first in your life, and then watch what He'll do. Because it's up to Him. I work for Him anyway. People say, are you self-employed? I said, nope, I'm God-employed. And He's a good boss. God likes commitment from His people. I'm closing, so just relax. God likes commitment. God likes commitment from His people. Not a show, not a form. Not even necessarily a card. That's why there's no names on those cards. I don't want to know. That's between you and God. Your commitment is to God. He's put a need before you. Your commitment's to God. He's going to take care of that. The issue is not money. The issue is the heart. It's like establishing priorities when you make a commitment. You're remembering your purpose. Lord, I'm getting back to my first love. I'm getting back to that place where I was all in for you, 100%. Now, I don't know what the specifics of what your commitment to God will look like, but I guarantee you this, you can do what Scripture says. Mark down the day and the time and the hour that you said, Lord, I'm in 100%. I'm committing. I'm whatever you want from here on out, I'll do it. You mark down that day, that hour, that minute. Because the Holy Spirit will take you back to it and say, now, was I faithful? Was I faithful to you? And you're going to say, Lord, why did I hold out for so long? It's not a time to coast, ladies and gentlemen. You may have come here to retire, but it ain't time to coast. It's not a time to step back and let's see what's going to happen. It's time to step up. Commit your way fully to the Lord. His business first. His church first. He'll take care of all your other things. Now, that's what we've done. I wouldn't lead you to do it if I hadn't done it. We've done it. And I wasn't even sure I was going to be able to share that with you, but I can share you the gist of it. That's why commitment is important. Now, God's already been talking to you folks. I already know that. I don't know what about, but He's been talking to you about this kind of thing, commitment. There's something in your life that you really need to come up here to this altar, you and God, nobody else's business, and commit like your pastors have done and say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm back on the firing line. Whatever you call upon me, a need to fulfill, a thing to do, I'll do it. I'll trust you, but I'll do it. Let's stand to our feet, please. You're getting older, but are you getting better? Musicians, you can come up. If you are, then you've got more calmness in your life now. You've got more confidence in your life. And it's all because you have really committed your life to the Lord. As musicians begin to play, God's already talking to you about something in the area, something you need to be committed with. Come on. Then you just come to the altar and you and God talk that out. Express to Him the commitment you have made or are making. I invite everybody to come to the altar. It's just a good thing. And talk to God about that right now. Musicians, there you are. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for the Word. It will not return void. It will go forth and accomplish that which You have designed it to do. I thank You, Father. You're breaking us free from the mold of the world. You've called us to be unique. We are called to be salt and light in a dark world, in a world that's filled with corruption. We're to be different. We're supposed to be calm when the world is worried. We're supposed to be confident in the Lord when the world doesn't know any solution whatsoever. And we are supposed to be committed to You even unto death, Lord. And so I call Your church to the very words of Jesus who said, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. Church, follow Jesus. Follow Jesus, be committed now, today, and every day. You are born for this moment, and you are here for such a time as this. Be committed. Let everyone see your commitment to God. Let your neighbors see, let your family see you're committed. The Lord is first in my life. He'll never be second. He'll never take second place. He is first and foremost, the Lord of my life, the King of glory. And let the church say amen. 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 And if you're here today and never received Jesus, that's where you start. Come. The altar workers will help you. But everybody here ought to make a commitment and say, God, I'm afraid to make a commitment maybe, but help me to trust you and be fully in. Show me what that's going to look like. And mark down the day. This is when things begin to change for the better in your life. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.